Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. What is something you think is underrated?
Something I've really gotten into recently is reading the print newspaper.
Ooh.
Just as we like are all like consuming more news than ever, like online. Sure. I like how it organizes information in a way that's a little like easier to know what's important and what's not. On the internet, sometimes everything feels like an equally sized piece of information. Yeah. But on the newspaper, it's like, here's the front page. Like, here's the stupid shit you don't have to worry about. You also have the feeling of being done at some point, which is so much better than the internet, where it's like, oh, you've read everything in the newspaper. You can throw it away now.
Imagine scrolling to the bottom of Twitter one day, and you're like, wait, it's not. No, I've read everything?
Right.
Does the world gonna end?
What print publications are you subscribing to?
I read the LA Times.
Never heard of it.
And I get it. This I really love because, you know, I'm worried about it like piling up in my house and like tipping over onto me and suffocating. And so I get
it.
Are
you a hoarder?
Well, I mean, like you would if you get it at your house, it's going to just pile up.
That's how the New Yorker is too sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
Too many.
Oh, my God.
So I get it delivered to like the cafe near my house so I can like go get it there and like read it there. I feel like it's a New York. I'm like trying to get the like bodega lifestyle.
Yeah,
like living in New York.
I didn't even know that was an option.
I just asked. I was like, is this okay? And they're like, yeah, I guess. They probably thought I was setting up some weird alibi.
Right.
Like, no, I live here. This is where my newspaper goes.
Hey, can you hold this newspaper up and we take a photo right now? And also, can we point to the clock what time it is? Okay, cool. Thanks. I'll probably never be back after this. You can keep all the newspapers.
I totally feel you on like the having the information organized for you. I subscribe to the Sunday New York Times and just having a front page to like read all those stories and feel like, okay, those were the most important stories of that week according to like people who are paying attention to the news is kind of a good tool.
And you get T Magazine. I go right to T Magazine. Mm-hmm. I love that it weighs 50 pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if there's anything that's not an ad in it.
No, yeah. Why? What is T Magazine? I've only seen the cover of it and just
The binding is like three dimensional. It's so thick.
Yeah.
Like when you pick up the Sunday Times and it's so heavy, that's all T Magazine.
Yeah, mostly T Magazine. What's something people think is true you know to be false?
I do a show about LA, a podcast about like LA news and stuff called LA Podcast, and we talk a lot about housing and homelessness, stuff that is like a huge deal in LA and in pretty much every major city now. And there are so many myths around that. And the one that I think probably comes up the most is that it's really expensive to house homeless. The alternative, the thing that's keeping the homeless people from being housed is cost.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When really what's super expensive is what we do now, which is let people live on the street. So they go to the emergency room every day. They go in and out of jail. That shit is really, really expensive.
Right.
And it is cheaper to just provide homes for people.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And we have a lot of money available to actually tackle this problem, but we're kind of running into a lot of neighborhoods where people haven't quite realized that this is actually a good solution to homelessness. And they just see people like, you know, there have been town hall meetings where people are screaming down homeless people who have gotten back on their feet from like support housing. Mm-hmm. And people are like, we don't care about your story or whatever. And they think there's like a whole pushback in the city, too, where we have the money to do this. Actually, it's been it's all there. We just have to find the places to do it. And yeah, it's true. Like, there's no harder place to try and recover, whether you have mental illness or something else going on, than doing that on the street.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? And it's such a simple thing, but we're still trying to, you know, overcome the optics, I think, of people. Just the idea of there being support housing near them thinks, oh, it's going to breed crime or whatever.
Yeah. When the alternative is people living near you on the street, like you're saying, which
I
would think, that you would like people moving inside instead of sleeping on the sidewalk. But yeah, like exactly like you're saying, the money is so much easier to get than it is to spend.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and recently in the city, there's a new program that the mayor's rolling, you know, saying, hey, turn all your rentable units in the back of your house, your garage, or an in-law suite or whatever. We can subsidize these people living there to help get back on their feet. There are solutions that we're trying to pursue. But yeah, it's definitely, like you say, there's this idea, this preconceived notion about what it means to help rehabilitate homeless people or get them the support they need that people have all wrong. But yeah, we're moving step by step.
Yeah.
But we got to take bigger steps.
Yep.
Yeah, I live by UCLA, and they have this huge, like, veterans campus.
Yeah,
it's like right in the middle of the city. It's a huge campus that's just like old rotting buildings that haven't been used for decades.
Yeah, they say they can't really put housing on. They're finally starting instead they like let the Brentwood School, the private school, like play tennis there and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
The mail bomb suspect was taken into custody on Friday morning in Florida. Surprise, surprise.
Very quickly.
Cesar Sayoc, Cesar Sayoc, as the FBI dude called him.
Yeah, Chris Ray, really.
Chris Ray.
Handled that pronunciation.
Cesar Sayoc. So he seems to be basically a cartoon of what you would expect based on the targets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And clearly, like, first we found out, oh, they have someone in custody. And then the images started coming out of, like, this van that he was driving around in. And you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Because everything is basically a Trump meme or some kind of, like, far-right propaganda thing.
Youth soccer.
Yeah. Also, my favorite sticker of all was youth soccer prospects for Trump, which is my favorite construction of Trump supporter is some obscure group for Trump.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Like Christian dads who vape for Trump or something like that. But all of the images, when you look, you're like, oh, of course, before we saw a very common thread with all of the targets of people who received the bombs. And then when you look, you're like, oh, you have a sticker with Hillary Clinton in actual crosshairs on your van.
Yeah.
Or Obama or CNN. What was Van Jones? But it was just like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
And it's a van.
Yeah. And it's a van.
Right.
And he also ended up having like Facebook accounts. Now, they don't know if these are his, but these Facebook accounts he was the only follower of. And like there was a lot of overlap where one page was literally just called, the first name was Kill George and the last name was Soros.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was like Kill All and the last name was like Socialists. And there's a lot of common imagery between those Facebook pages and like what is on his Twitter account, which is like a very dark account where you could say, oh, this person intends to do harm to progressives or Democrats or whoever's against Trump.
Right. Now, the fact that he is a cartoon of what you would expect has caused a lot of people on the right to immediately claim, well, they were claiming this before we even saw this dude, but they've been claiming false flag from Jump Street, basically.
Yeah.
And now that it appears to be a mentally ill person who is basically, a cartoon caricature of a Trump supporter, they're even more like, okay, this is just too obvious. oldest trick in the book. Blame it on the crazy guy, guys. Come on. That's all over. R. the Donald actually got into the idea that this guy was from Broward, which is also where the Parkland shooter is from. And as we all know, the Parkland shooter is clearly a Democratic operative who was just trying to help gun control. But yeah, the thread that was talking about that was saying Comey, McCabe, Strzok, and Page, they aren't the only ones, because clearly the whole FBI and Department of Justice, full of Trump appointees, were all in on constructing this vast conspiracy to bomb Trump's opponents so that people would hate Trump, their boss. Just the idea that this is too obvious is mind-boggling, because this guy does not appear to be a fan of subtlety.
No.
Just based on his van and...
the evidence is so overwhelming,
right?
You know, and his motive is literally plastered all over the car he's driving in.
If someone tells you who they are, believe them.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's usually something you tell teenagers about, like, their friends, but this is a, no, this is, they're saying exactly what their intentions are and it's happening, yet we're still surprised.
Right.
Again, this is just like, you know, it's hard to, for them, they cannot operate in a world where they've done anything wrong or there's any, that there's any possibility that the rhetoric they use or the policies they pursue could be viewed as negative or this immoral.
This seems like a new level of dangerous to me that they are physically, you know, attacking or trying to attack and just not being like bright enough. Engineer Doug was saying like, well, the Unabomber, they never caught him. Like, what was this guy doing differently? And it's like everything. Like, this guy did not have the knowledge of like how to do what he was trying to accomplish.
Well, the other thing is like, you know, granted, we're here saying, wow, well, looks like, you know, from when we saw the targets, we're like, oh, this seems like someone, maybe a far right person, or someone who supports the agenda of the far right. And then you see the van and you're like, okay, I'm not here saying that Donald Trump told this person to do it. I can very much see a world where this person is mentally ill. He happens to gravitate towards this media diet and that has like spurred this on. Like people on the right, or at least the people who are trying to defend this, they can't even go as far as to say, just on the evidence alone, just say it looks like this person may have been a follower of the right wing media.
Yeah.
At the very least, you don't have to. You don't have to say, by admitting that doesn't mean you're saying, oh, Republicans are responsible for this. Although, let's be real, when you look at all the shit that Trump says and that people on Fox News say, this seems like you're. Clearly, those voices in your head are coming from somewhere.
Yeah, because there are pictures of him at rallies, which we can assume is where the indoctrination started.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's also a further indictment of him being one of them is that they see him and they're like, must be a false flag because he is one of them. They don't want to be blamed for this because, you know, he's a guy who is like Ben Shapiro and like the people who are, you know, far right MAGA chuds, you know? And it's
And Ben Shapiro, he was out here being like, "Oh wow, blame the right again." When he's someone himself, has embroiled in a controversy where his rhetoric clearly was being consumed, or his podcasts or ideas are being consumed by a guy who shot up a mosque.
Right.
So,
Rush Limbaugh is pointing to the fact that the stickers are placed too evenly on this person's van and not sun faded to prove that it's a setup. And Rush Limbaugh is like a mainstream right-wing media personality. Like, he is feeding them their thoughts. He's a thought leader in their world. And yeah, I just don't, I think this is extremely, extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
Because they're being fed that there aren't going to be any consequences and we're going to do backflips to get you out of it if you do.
Yeah,
because we've seen it both with like the Proud Boys when they assault someone. We've seen it now. We keep seeing someone just barely slip through because they don't want to even be associated with them. So they'll do the gymnastics it takes to excuse it.
Right.
And it's making it so much easier for them to step further and further across the line and cause harm.
Yeah, because the further we get away from, at the very least, being objective enough to say, at the very least, they could say, you know what? Clearly, this is a sign that this like left right polarization is leading to this kind of thing would be the minimum you could say to be a humane person.
Yeah.
And we're living in a country right now where there are this racist and violent rhetoric is translating into real world violence, whether it's Heather Heyer being run over by a car, whether it's mail bombs being sent or white supremacists in Kentucky pulling up into a Kroger and just shooting black people at random while telling like another white person outside, oh, don't worry, don't shoot me, I won't shoot you because whites don't kill whites. We're seeing there are
that
real
happening yesterday.
Yeah, there are real
Louisville.
Or last week, yeah.
There
are real stakes for people of color and people on the left, clearly from their, you know, the rhetoric on the left is about moral outrage because we aren't doing what's right by human beings.
Yeah.
Versus like trying to dehumanize people on the right and saying, oh, they're all like animals that are going to kill you or whatever. But what we're seeing right now is there's tremendous follow through with people on the far right in terms of acting out this kind of violence. And like you say, when people show themselves to be who they are, we should believe them, much like a woman in New Jersey who like received a bunch of threatening Facebook messages from a man in Kentucky who was coming after her children who were half black and saying like, oh, they should be hung. Like, mm-hmm. I'll kill these kids, blah, blah, blah. These, you know, N-words deserve to die. So she called the police in Kentucky. He was like, I don't know why this guy came at me, blah, blah, blah. They sent a straight state trooper to his house. He had a bunch of guns in his car and he was pulling out with plans to go shoot up some schools.
Yeah. And like, it also ties into when people are like, oh, the internet isn't real. What people say on the internet isn't real. It's just a troll. It's just a troll. It's like, how much can you say that before it actually starts becoming actual consequences?
Well, clearly not even in this level.
Yeah.
Because this man is out here making threats constantly on Twitter and even on Facebook. I don't know. That's where, like, that's why it gets dangerous, because now they'll never be able to look at what they're doing and just say, no, this has nothing to do with us. We have no hand in this. And I don't know what's going on with these people, because nothing we say would remotely resemble something that would motivate somebody.
Yeah, like, I wish the worst thing that I could possibly be afraid of is someone yelling at me while I'm eating. Like, that's a breezy-ass consequence to pay.
I'll take my shit to go.
Yeah, I would much rather deal with that than wondering, is this dude with a Pidgeotto haircut going to murk me today? Like, that... I would much rather be yelled at
over
food.
You're
going
to get your throat slit at the BART station? You know
exactly.
What I mean? Like, what the fuck?
But I mean, this double standard has been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
That the media and just the mainstream is much more forgiving towards people who have right-wing views, who are racist, acting out of racism, like Timothy McVeigh in the Oklahoma City bombing. Compare that to September 11th. Like, those are both heinous acts of terrorism, but... we did not, like, launch a bunch of wars to fight white supremacist nationalist militias following the Oklahoma City bombing. And, yeah, I mean, it's also I think a lot of liberal people are probably, like, liberal white people are now learning that what it's like to have this double standard of, like, you yell at someone, they're like, whoa, that is a dangerous, angry person, but they can, like, shoot you, and that's considered okay. Like, people of color have been dealing with that double standard for a long time, and people on the right are very practiced at using that to their advantage.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, well, you're getting emotional, so you're clearly unhinged.
Right, right.
That's where I'm like, I don't know how this plays out. And we truly do not know what the motive was for this person. I mean, granted, we can speculate wildly based on what we're looking at. But I think in all fairness, to be objective, you say, let's just say we don't know, right? And then at what moment will the country arrive at where you will actually hear something from people on the right and extreme right begin to own up to the fact that maybe something has to change a little bit? In some way, or are we just fine, like, marching towards
fire? No, Trump has said that things need to change. CNN needs to start being nicer to him.
Right.
That's how he's taking it. I mean, I honestly don't know. That's why I've come to a point where I can't imagine any scenario where either side just sort of capitulates and is like, well, turns out we were wrong. Like, I just don't, I don't think it's going to happen. And
Then we'll reach that breaking point and see what happens then.
Yeah, because like at protests and shit like that, I've resorted to the silence of the lambs technique, where like, if I say my name and make myself a human as many times as I can, will you not harm me? Like, hi, my name's Vanessa. I'm 26 years old. I have a mom. Like, how many times do I have to try and make myself a human to you?
Right.
But I can't do that to all of them in mass.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's I can't do that to every single one on a one-on-one basis. That's impossible.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
And we are back. On Tuesday, the president, Donald Trump, made his way to Pittsburgh visit the Tree of Life Synagogue, where that horrific shooting took place, in which 11 people were killed. And, you know, initially, many people, including the mayor of Pittsburgh, were like, do not come here right now.
Mm-mm.
At least let's bury our dead and mourn before you come in here for some kind of circus, circuitry, whatever that word
Circuit
is.
Circuit City. Yes.
Circuit City. Thank you. And, you know, he even brought along Jovanka and Steve Mnuchin to demonstrate how pro-Semite he is.
Was Ivanka wearing like a stupid sweatshirt that had like a Star of David with like an X over it?
Could have been. I don't know.
She's like, I got it from Zara. I don't
know. Oh, you mean Melania.
I'm sorry.
Yes, yes,
I confuse
those
people all the time.
I mean, it's easy to confuse his wife and his daughter.
I'm sorry. Yeah, he wishes his wife or his daughter, am I right?
It's all the same to him, yeah.
But he pulled up, but I don't think he was expecting. The people of Pittsburgh were definitely not pleased because he was met by thousands of protesters who took to the streets in and around the synagogue to basically show that the community is united against hatred, and also showing that this is not the time for someone whose crazy conspiracy theories and like anti-Semitic conspiracy theories have fueled this kind of violence in the real world.
Yeah. Right.
And wasn't his motivation for bringing Ivanka that Jared is Jewish and that Ivanka converted to Judaism when they got married?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
why I said, yeah, and Steve Mnuchin.
Right.
So he brought Jewish person who works for him that he could be like, you got to come with me right now.
I have Jewish friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's like, where's the hat?
I'm pretty sure Ivanka and Jared were the only people who were like pushing him to respond to the Pittsburgh thing, right?
They were like, begging him.
Yeah, because it wasn't like one of his first sort of quotes or whatever about his hair and how like some reporter or like angry leftist person had like pointed out that his hair was blowing in the wind at a press conference. And he was like, that was what he decided to share with everyone on the day of the shooting was just like him being like, my hair's real. Okay.
Yeah, it blew away and that's fake news. But, you know, and it's crazy. At one point, the amount of people that were in the streets, like, sort of complicated his arrival of his motorcade. So, like, it was shout out to the people of Pittsburgh for coming together and, you know, letting this person know that this is the most ill-timed presidential visit. I mean, there was leadership on both sides of the aisle who were like, I don't want to go with you there. Like, I don't want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And they're even, I think one of the victims' families even refused to meet with him because, as they say, they're like, you're crazy misrepresentation of this group of migrants who are coming north from Central America and using this like George Soros conspiratorial
globalist
anti-Jewish dog whistle. At this point, it's not a dog whistle, it's a fucking air horn.
Mm-hmm.
Fueled the man who eventually went to Gab and was like, okay, I don't give a fuck, I'm doing this. And, you know, it was a very, very charged day. You could see the emotion in the streets as the news covered it and the amount of people that were there. And you wouldn't believe that based on the tweet that he put out Wednesday morning because it said, this is just such a fucking ridiculous tweet. He said, Melania and I were treated very nicely yesterday in Pittsburgh. The office of the president was shown great respect on a very sad and solemn day. We were treated so warmly.
Oh my God.
Small protest was not seen by us, staged far away. The fake news stories were just the opposite. Disgraceful.
Let me ask you, Miles, how many of those words were capitalized unnecessarily?
Disgraceful was fake news, and that's
is
it.
Is fake news not a proper noun?
At this point, I think so.
Yeah.
When you're just talking about journalists who talk to people and are broadcasting that. But again, it just shows you how he is doing everything he can to avoid meaningful discussion around his rhetoric and the environment that he's creating. And it's not just him, but he has a huge part in it by being the president and being the sort of figurehead for a lot of these super right-wing deranged people.
Right.
And by having this tweet to just sort of paper over the cracks, like he was like, it was wonderful. And the office of the president was like, that's such a fucking weird way to,
I know,
like spin the
to
bullshit.
Come out, I know. Like hot with like, okay. Like because he doesn't even really mention the reason that he's there other than saying sad and solemn. He's just like, and no one was actually mad at me. I rule. I'm great.
Yeah.
And anyways,
the song is about me. Yeah.
It's just like, so it's so like, at this point, the fact that people in Pittsburgh did not want him there is just like a testament to how far everything has come.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we don't want the president to.
Nope.
Because it's so transparent of like, he's going to take advantage of this tragedy and make it about something that has nothing to do with us, nothing to do with our community, and is going to be to push an agenda that will ultimately harm us.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, it's like, I'm so sick of him like disavowing accountability for this shit. It's like him standing like in front of a burning house with a can of gasoline being like, I was received very warmly by this house.
Yeah,
like,
very warmly.
Yeah, like,
technically it was warm. Fire is warm.
Yeah. I mean, this house is lit, if anything. And, you know, just sort of all around, the bumbling of the administration around this event has been, like, so offensive. Like, from march parading out your Jewish family members to somehow be like, well, there's no way I could have said anything because look at Jared.
Look at my daughter.
Like, what?
Yeah.
And then Mike Pence was at an event where a fake rabbi essentially said a prayer for the victims. And one of the most offensive, I don't even know how to describe, like, how. So
this is bad, Miles. This is all bad.
The rabbi is of the Messianic Jews, Jews for Jesus.
Messianic Jews for Jesus, which are fake Jews.
Right.
They're not real Jews. They believe that Jesus is the Savior.
That Yeshua is Jesus.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that he is still coming, you know?
Right.
Or sorry, that he came and he'll come back, right? Isn't that what Christians believe?
Exactly. And I think that it's also like a weird recruiting tool to try and like convert Jews to Christianity.
Yes.
Also, it's a very fucking...
It's very slippery. It's
quite literally the opposite of Judaism, even more than Christianity is.
It is. Like, I know. It's somehow... Yeah, it's not Christianity. It's not Judaism. It's just bad. But this is really, really offensive. This guy, by the way... was not even a Jews for Jesus rabbi, if you want to call them rabbis. He was like disbarred from Jews for Jesus.
Right.
He
de-cloaked,
was
de-cloaked.
I'm sorry.
I love the term de-cloaked.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm going to call investigative journalism from now on.
Yeah.
You
have been
de-cloaked.
De-cloaked with Jamie Loftus. It's a conspiracy theory podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, someone will make that on Twitter. Zeit Gango, do your Photoshop thing. De-cloaked with Zaymie
Zeit.
Zaymie Zeit. Anyway.
Zaymie Zeit, guys.
But this group, because I think he was de-cloaked for libel. Like, he was just... This guy is a fucking shitheel all around.
He's too shitty for Jews for Jesus.
Yeah.
Even they don't want him. It's bananas.
Yeah.
And like, just, I can't decide whether this is an intentional slight to Jews or if this is just, this falls under the category of like oblivious of like Trump playing that Pharrell song Happy at his rally the same day as the shooting. I don't know how much to read into this. It feels offensive.
Well, it just, at every corner, right? You just showed they know fuck all. Like in-
Yeah.
A lot of this shit is so unintended half the time because they like obviously sometimes their offensiveness is intended, but other times it's born out of the idea that they're so ignorant about things.
They have no idea. Like it would be hard if you were looking for someone who is absolutely the least qualified out of everyone to do this specific task. It would be hard to find that guy.
It would be a Jews for Jesus rabbi who is kicked out of Jews. Like he's just some fucking floater. I don't
know. So many steps of removal.
Like, so true. Yeah. When I was reading this article, I came up with five Jews more appropriate to host, or sorry, to deliver these words at the gig.
List.
And it was Bernie Madoff, the ghost of famous mobster Bugsy Siegel, okay. Kyle from South Park, Drake, and of course, Ivanka Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, or me. I'm available.
Yeah, right. I mean, Ivanka, I probably would have been like, huh, I see what they did there, but gross also.
Right.
And the crazy thing was during his benediction, like, he didn't mention any of the victims and then only evoked the names of the candidates at this event that were running for office. So, all around, really smooth move.
Another home run.
Right. And this is all, again, like, so. To tie this back to sort of Trump and sort of the last push into the midterm elections coming up Tuesday, everybody vote. He just went again right after his tweet about, oh, everyone treated us so well in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Then went on to tweet some dumb shit about how the caravan, like people were being violently attacked in Mexico and the officials are doing nothing. Again, completely baseless things that he's just tweeting, which shows you he's really learned fuck all. And again, I hate to, like this. We'll be saying this for the next 4 years. I'll just be like, and it shows you he's learned nothing.
2 years.
Or knows nothing.
Hopefully.
No, I'm like, yeah, fingers crossed.
We live in dystopia.
Yeah. But again, I think for the Republicans, they're probably just reeling, especially House Republicans, because every time he does this, like we've seen since last week, and from the MAGA bomber to this guy and his response to those things, it's tanked his approval ratings bit by bit. Now, don't get complacent because we need to put the smash on all these Republican people in the election.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's really costing the House, if anything, because this is not something you can go and campaign on because immediately someone's going to ask you, well, what do you think about this? Like, what's your what's this? What's your president up to? Even though he's everyone's president.
Yeah.
Let's,
all
yes.
I can do is just sigh, yeah. like, disappointedly.
I know. I've come up with so many new sighs in the past 2 years. Really reinvented the game. There's different kinds. Okay, so I just gave you a, uh-huh. and that's like, sure, this is happening. And then there's like more of an aggrieved, like, and that's a more an
that's
aggressive
like a 5 out of 10?
Yeah. And I'm just like, you know, there it is. That's mm-hmm. that's ooh. A breaking news sigh.
Oh, that was a...
All right, let's talk about the bombshell that was dropped by Jacob Wool and Jack Berkman.
Oh, my God.
Can I just preface this with saying I didn't know what you guys were talking about.
Should you.
And that made me happy.
Oh, yes. Good.
Good.
Do you know what
this
I mean?
This is a small, I mean, it's a small, fun, relevant story.
Yes. No, right. I understand. Yeah, and yeah, I looked yeah. it up afterwards. Sure, but sure, it sure. did make me happy. I'm like, oh, it's good that it's not as far out as I was afraid it was. When I realized I haven't heard about it. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Where it was like, if I hadn't heard about it, that means that's good.
Okay, yeah. good. All well, right. we knew.
So, to recap,
yesterday, right?
On Daily Zeitgeist.
Yesterday on Daily Zeitgeist, we talked about how MAGA Twitter celeb Jacob Wool and GOP huckster, trickster, conspiracy theory spreader Jack Berkman, they teamed up for like one of the most painfully transparent, obvious fraud schemes to try and smear Robert Mueller for sexual assault, where they were offering women money to sign a sworn affidavit that he had either tried to rape them or assaulted them in some way. And, you know, right when
How much money?
It depend, like, I don't know, 20 grand. Like, one woman said her credit card debt would get paid off or something.
It would be funny for me to be like, go up there and be like, how much? 20? And just, like, do it yeah. on camera the whole time. Like, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. And yeah. you know Robert Mueller? Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, he did some sex stuff to me.
I mean.
Sure did.
They would, I mean, that would probably, you probably would have been their next best option. But once they figured out, you know, like, a lot of journalists figured out what was going on and kind of blew up their spot, and including, like, the special counsel's office being like, we've referred this to the FBI.
And they're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so that began Backpedal Fest 3018. Because the way these guys have had to be just dancing and trying to change their tune has been kind of fucking hilarious. I mean, so first, you know, yesterday we said that on Thursday they were having this press conference to bring out the woman who was their victim that they did not manufacture, that they did not produce out of thin air. So then we find out that maybe this person either doesn't exist or realize that they might be caught up in a felonious fraud scheme to attack right. Robert Mueller and didn't show up. So on the day, both Berkman and Jacob Wool, they're just saying, like, hey, look, you know, we said, you know, she arrived in D.C., but then boarded a flight to another location because she feared for her life. And Jacob Wool, you know, he posted receipts. He took a selfie with some female form with the face crossed out just to prove that is the person.
Hey, strange lady, can I get a selfie with you for a scavenger hunt?
Sure. No, pretty much.
Yeah.
But this is pretty much like, this is par for the course, especially for Berkman, who has done this sort of thing before where he says he's got a witness to some kind of insane crime and then they're a no-show. Like, he did the same thing with the death of that DNC staffer, Seth Rich, who they were trying to say, like, Hillary Clinton
was
behind.
Here's the best part. This is the little boy that cried wolf, is what this is. And now somebody that's going to tell the truth is going to go to these people and be like, hey, this really happened to me. And they're going to be like, right. hey. And everybody's going to be like, go away, Jacob.
Right. right.
Yeah.
And he's like,
but no, this time.
It's a real alien.
Go away, little
Shut
boy.
Up, Jake.
Yeah, he's also like the youngest person to be charged with, like, securities frauds things. Anyway, but so, you know, he did the same thing with Seth Rich, said there was going to be a witness. Then when it came to throw down, the person just did not show up. And he was like, oh, well, the guy, you know, the guy exists. And then prior to all of this kind of coming to light, you know, Wool denied that he had anything about this intelligence firm, Surefire.
Right.
And he was like, you know, I have nothing to do with this thing. I don't know why you think that, even though my photo is on the website and my email address is registered to this domain and my mother's phone number is connected to this business. Well, then he had to backtrack on that and basically said, oh, well, I had to actually, I had to deny that because I was having to protect my anonymity as mm-hmm. we put this really this huge case together. That's why I was saying that. And then once we got to the press conference, you know, we were really curious what this is going to sound like. It couldn't have been a bigger fucking disaster. Because at this point, all the press were there basically to be like, These are the two bumbling idiots whose plan was just sort of brought to light for everyone to see, yet they're still going to try and come up here and act like something's really happening.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming.
So.
No, it was a very, very interesting press conference. Oh, but I should mention that before the press conference, they did do this interview with Gateway Pundit, which is the website that loves to spread pro-Trump conspiracy theories of all varieties.
It sounds legit.
Yes. Where they were basically, you know, saying that, I don't know, Jacob Wool had this very interesting setup for why he believes that this woman who told them about Robert Mueller's behavior, that he felt she was credible because of a certain stance that he has.
I'm the biggest skeptic in the world of the Me Too movement. My default position is not to believe the women.
It's a solid. That's just a smart position. That's just smart, well-crafted, thought-out words.
In his mind, though, if that's the setup, then that means when he goes, and because of that, I found this woman very credible. Right. So she has to be very credible because...
Oh, that's a weird way to say all that.
That was his setup.
I'm a huge skeptic of women in general.
Right.
Like, just, you know, when they talk, lies happen.
Right.
But this one, that does it that I can't produce, I believe.
Right. Right.
She's very credible. Her character is unimpeachable. And, like, the description of her is like, she's a well-respected fashion designer.
Also, I would like to say that if any woman, liberal or conservative, will love me, I'll go either way.
Just one woman.
She's a well-respected fashion designer, really comes across as like my girlfriend lives in Canada type shit.
100%.
Yeah. Weird science. And right. He keeps pushing the buttons, but she won't come out.
Right. So, yeah, then I said the press conference, like, it was just a fucking joke of itself in which they both stood up there. Jacob Wool was like tweeting like, oh, Antifa is here. And it was just some dude who had like a car with like a Trump dinosaur blow up like in the parking lot. And then he's like, they're busing people in. And he just took a photo of a bus that was across the street, but there were no people like coming out of it or anything to do with Antifa. But that's how Jacob Wool was trying to spin this whole event. And then inside the event was just so hilarious. So he was in there, like people from the Gateway Pundit were even grilling him hard as shit about this stuff when they were in there because they realized how bad this looks for them. And there were all kinds of things happening, from him complaining that people on Twitter were photoshopping his face onto a corn cob. Like, he brought that up. He's like, and like, I mean, they did that with corn. They're trying to make me look bad. When they asked
about that on the press conference,
he was complaining, that people were making memes of him with like Photoshop and him on a corn cob.
He complained that people were calling his like relatives and his little sister, and his little sister. And that was based on the fact that like people called to fact check the number on the made up Surefire intelligence thing that he did. So he's like, you called my house? It's like, because you fucking registered.
That's the number
it.
You put there, asshole. What do you mean?
Right.
And then Jack Berkman was like, you called 11-year-old girls. Nice. Really bad.
Do you think it's just one of, like, we said some stuff and then we kept saying it. And now we have to do a press conference and people showed up.
Roll, people showed the fuck up.
Do you think they'll do it again? Or do you think it's...
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure...
Because if they try it again, it feels like mental illness.
I'm sure once the FBI pulls up on them, like, they just know the FBI is investigating them. I'm sure... I don't know if someone has actually, like, some G-man's pulled up and been like, yeah, we need to talk. If that will probably get them to abandon the story. But you never know. It's very, very desperate times for them. There was another person in the audience who asked, they're like... On the date of this supposed assault, they said it happened in New York City. And that just, like I said yesterday, it happened to be a day where there's a very easily searchable article about how Robert Mueller had jury duty with a full FBI detail on him on that day in Washington, D.C. And they're like,
that's when it happened.
He's like, well, that must have leaked or something. And they're like, you can just search on the Washington. You can Google that date with his name and it just shows up. He's like, I don't know.
And then I'm special.
His explanation was when they said, well, how could this be? He said, well, you know, sometimes people go to jury duty, but they're also somewhere else. And the whole room actually erupted into laughter at him.
And then it turned out that Jack Berkman's fly had been down the whole time.
The whole time.
And that is not a joke. He just went up in front of people.
It is a joke.
Not even to mention that they couldn't figure out how to spell this victim's name. They're like, I think it's Carolyn or Caroline with an E. Like, they couldn't, nothing was.
You think Putin watches something like that? And he's like, we couldn't train people this well. No. This is amazing.
I don't know.
This is pure nonsense.
This is all sort of based out of this shit, like this MAGA worldview of the idea of how sexual assault allegations work on people, or how they believe women can eat. Like this is just a thing. That's the reality in which they operate. And this whole like the idea of them thinking they really pulled a fast one, it's just like total Dunning-Kruger effect, like in action before our eyes, of people thinking they're way more able than they are.
Got you.
Right.
How? You're here.
Right. Uh-huh. It was like you were saying, Billy, it's like people watching, what would you say, Punked or something, and just not knowing how to do it?
Yeah, it's like seeing all those things, like just watching people do things and figuring out like, oh, I could figure out the mechanics of this. Right. But not knowing why you're doing it or for whatever motivation, and you just do it, and then you get to the end and you're like, huh. Oh, we should have thought it through before we just tried it.
Yeah. Right. It's they're in some hot water, and we'll see.
Yeah.
What will go on?
Idiots.
But yeah, the Gateway Pundit.
Idiots need to get smacked a couple times, like judicially.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's meddle in this investigation by like having someone commit fraud for like a pay to lie scheme, like, come on now.
Well, what are you going to, I mean, right now we're in crazy land.
Yeah.
And that's who he's talking to, because even, it's just clear right now, like even people that were, I think, were pro Trump, that were, you know, moderate to
severe plaque psoriasis?
Yes, whatever, exactly. At this point, are quietly not pro-Trump anymore.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I think that shift's being made. So now that base is shrinking, and
we'll
they know
it.
That. So now they're speaking to crazy, 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 crazy. And crazy's loud as fuck, usually.
Yeah.
They're small in number, but they like just go to certain intersections in L.A., and you're like, here they are. They're right here.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And sort of the opposite of Justin Bieber, I would say, is a dog that we learned about on Facebook.
Wow. Sort of the opposite.
Sort of, well... And that they're clever about their fast food eating,
mm-hmm.
whereas Justin Bieber is clueless about
if it's even Bieber.
So this dog, people were talking about this dog that was always at the McDonald's. They were giving the dog scraps of their McDonald's, and because they assumed it was a stray. And then Betsy Reyes just tweeted, I guess, or posted on Facebook a picture of her dog and was like, look, stop giving my fat ass gold digging dog McDonald's. She just sneaks out every night and goes and basically cosplays as a stray dog outside of McDonald's to get fed burgers.
And yo, but the actual post is amazing because she has had it. She goes, this is a quote from her Facebook. If you see my dog at the McDonald's on Shields, quit feeding her fat ass. She's not even a stray dog. She's just a gold-digging ass bitch that be acting like she's a stray so people will feel bad for her and feed her burgers.
And the picture of the dog...
The burn book.
Yeah.
The picture of the dog is like, it's just such a strong, well-fed looking dog. It's just like, yo.
That dog is...
Oh my God.
Just on... Plenty of protein in that dog's diet.
Oh, hell
That's
yeah.
That's a beefy baby.
Yeah.
Her name's Princess. Her
name's Princess. And that face, honestly, like, I would feel bad. Like, I don't know. You know, like you said, Jack, like, you know how wolves or whatever, how dogs became domesticated because they knew how to, like, get near us and get food or whatever?
Yeah.
I see that whole idea, that evolution in this dog's face. Because even though it looks well-fed, I'm like... You know, well, let's give it some fries or something.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. We all picture our dog like if our dog runs away that it's like fending for itself out in the wilderness.
Right.
Fuck no, man. It's just going to the nearest corner where there's like a place where there's people are giving away food and begging for food.
Yeah.
I mean, well, dogs are treated better than most people in this country anyway.
Right.
So.
Oh, hell yeah. I had a dog that used to fake a limp to get me to pick her up.
No.
And I'd be like, oh, baby, what's wrong? She was just fine.
Yeah.
And she learned she could just do that to everyone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I didn't even realize it until I went to the vet, and the vet was like, I'm not going to charge you because your dog is playing.
Can I have one moment with your dog? You need to knock this shit off. This is going to get expensive for Vanessa. play yourself.
I was like, what's wrong with her? And it's like, no, she just learned how to manipulate your empathy.
Or just she would just like, do the wimp.
She would like whimper limp. And like do a little hobble. Mm. And as soon as I came near, like, oh, I'm going to pick you up. She would just straighten out and she was fine.
Right.
Wow.
Oh, bitch.
Wow, dogs. But see, that's funny, right? Because like, I wonder if the owner was just so sick of seeing people give a shit about her dog or something. Like, what was it that was pissing the dog, like the owner off that she had to go on Facebook and be
well,
like,
I bet
she's a gold digging ass bitch. Like, what?
I bet it's harder to keep the dog in the house when people are feeding it. Like, the dog is very motivated.
Right.
She knows exactly what she's doing. She's like, these motherfuckers are going to give me burgers. And so this person's just like, please stop encouraging her.
Well, yeah. She has to clean up burger shits.
Right, that's yeah. true.
Oh, those shits
that's
must be.
That's the other thing.
Yeah. Oh,
my. That's okay.
Wild.
Yeah. I would, yeah. You know what? Stop feeding
that
princess.
That shit paints the driveway. You will never get the silhouette of it out ever again.
Oh, no, yeah. You need to call up, Ecolab.
It haunts your pavement.
And get the pressure washer out.
What about Halloween costumes? You guys doing anything for Halloween, dressing up?
I'm going to hand out candy. And I'm gonna hand them out bygone era candy. So they know. I'm going to hand out Squeeze-Its and Mondo drinks. Remember Mondo? Mondo was like a Squeeze-It, but like had the weird like flat top that you would snap off.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I got old Fruitopias on my handout. I'm just like, y'all don't know about this.
Oh, yeah. Sobe.
Yeah, exactly. Sobe's. Sobe.
Sobe. Yo,
the carrot one.
What was the off-brand, the third brand, not Gatorade, not Powerade? Was it
All Sport?
Yeah.
All Sport. Yeah.
That was like carbonated sports beverage.
That's right.
That
it had like a little
strange
fizz to it.
Yeah.
The thing about Sobe was that it was unfinishably huge. Like those bottles were just like so giant and it was kind of thick in a way that sort of made it feel like a meal in a bad way. And so I always was throwing out the last third of that.
And like old Naya water bottles. Remember Naya? Anyway, I don't know. I think I'm just going to hand out candy. They have glow in the dark candy, which I haven't opened up yet. Oh. I just saw it at the store and it's like glow in the dark Hershey's.
Oh.
I don't know if the candy itself is glow in the dark or it's the packaging. It's
got to be the package.
I haven't opened it up, but...
I mean, they've had glow-in-the-dark worms, like those gummy worms, for years.
I'm years, old, you know. That's so. What do I know?
How about you, Hayes? You
doing I'm not doing anything. What the idea I have now? What kids seem to like more is savory stuff. They love hot Cheetos. They love like
hot Cheetos and Takis. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Instead of candy now, it's savory snacks.
Yeah.
So maybe if I really want to give the kids a thrill this Halloween,
roast up a prime rib. Little carving station,
little rosemary.
Yeah. They're like, "Would you like a? Would you like a more rare or well done side?" Okay, you're gonna love this. This is actually Australian Wagyu beef,
just loose in the bag with all their a big slab of meat.
And you're like, "Would you like some jus on there? Horseradish?"
Carving station is such a good idea.
Should you just watch the kids just like go by, like not making eye contact with you?
No? Okay.
Yeah, just the really thirsty chef at a buffet.
At a
buffet. Just like,
why is no one coming to the station?
Yeah.
And for you, young lad, I have moussaka. You're going to love this.
Did you guys see the little girl's costume? The headless little girl?
Oh yeah,
like holding her own head on a platter.
That's it's a costume that I think people have probably seen before, where the actual head looks like it's on a plate, and then there's like an apparatus above it that makes it look like it's a headless body carrying the head on a plate. But it's just the most.
And then you find out this is like a physical deformity she has, and you're like, oh no, I'm so sorry. Well, your head is actually coming out of your chest.
Like Total Recall and shit.
Yeah, it's good for you taking ownership of it.
The proportions don't make sense in the costume. That's why, like, I was.
I like how when you, apropos of nothing this morning, you go, "Yo, did you see this little girl's costume?"
Yo, it's and such I was a like, good costume.
No, but
man.
I didn't know what the fuck you were talking about. So I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I was like, oh shit, some blackface nonsense or some shit. And it was a thing I had saw, and I was like, oh yeah. And but you were sincerely like, you were really mesmerized by this thing. You're like, damn, like, and then they put the candy like in the neck hole.
I know. Just a fan.
That's it, I mean, that feels like one of those costumes that a parent does to like show right. their kid off. The worst ones are when they dress them up as something that they, the parents, are fans of, mm-hmm. like right. their favorite, whatever, like podcast host or something. yeah. that right. you see on your Twitter feed, you're like, do not do this. Right. Stop doing.
Wait, have people dressed their kids up as you?
Never kids. Thank God. some adults occasionally, but I see like whatever some like. Barstool Sports host, right. You like dress your kid up as that, and a kid has to grow up and be like, "What did you dress for Halloween when you were a kid?" Oh yeah, I was PFT commenter or whatever. like, don't do that to your children.
All right, that's gonna do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.